When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
It's time to wake to sleep with Sleep Science Today, where we learn to sleep well with your host, Andrew Kolsky, on UK Health Radio.
All right, welcome to Sleep Science Today, the radio show where we talk about sleep and the science behind sleep. Today we have a new guest. He's a doctor. His name is Dr. Bashar Al-Asfari, and he is going to be talking to us about something that he discovered relating to periodic limb movement. So, Dr. Al-Asfari, thank you for joining us. Can you tell us a little bit about your background?
Okay. I am a medical doctor, graduated in 1982, and from Czech Republic, from University of Purkin in Brno. And I went through many states, actually. I was in England, and I went back to Czech after the fall of the communist regime. And I worked in complementary medicine. When I discovered, accidentally, the improvement of sleep for patients after applying a reflexology methods. That drew my attention to this, the importance of sleep, actually. Because in complementary medicine, we are dealing with different patients who are suffering from insomnia, who are suffering from arthritis, who are suffering from mobile UC diseases, and so on. Then it comes, you see, when I came to the state. I went to the state and I was interested of what happened to these patients which I treated by reflexology. Why did confirm that they slept wonderful? Mm-hmm. So I attended a course in Parma, Cleveland, the course of polysomnography. Right. And I talked the main instructor about my finding, and that was great when she helped me and they brought a Cadwell UC system where I performed the first experiment mm-hmm. on reflexology and effects on sleep, and that went very good, and that led to discover a two brain waves generated by this maneuver or this reflexology method.
Okay.
Then I started to do sleep studies, trying to do sleep studies. And I went through many patients. I was very careful when I did this study because I'm interested in research, you see. I wanted to find out something new, what's going on in sleep. Mm-hmm. So I realized that the periodic limb movement was generated sometimes by the CPAP itself. Mm. That was, you see, what drew my attention. I said, oh my God, if it caused the sleep disturbances or periodic limb movement, why it can't control it? Something wrong with this. So I read many papers. One of them, it was about the time dependence of signals coming to the nervous systems.
Okay.
These signals could come from different variety of sources, sensory sources, and some of them, they did come from cardiopulmonary receptors, such receptors. So what the author said that if the stimulus came and got to the presynaptic nucleus tractus solitary before the other signals coming from different sources of our body, sensory ones, it could inhibit their alertness effect.
Okay.
Alertness effect. This alertness effect could be behind the periodic limb movement because it inhibits sleep. So I said to myself, what can we do to get these stimulus to the presynaptic area of nucleus tractus solitarius before the incoming signals from visceral, from other sensory sweeps, from cutaneous, even from periodic lymph movement? How we can manage getting it before these things, getting the cardiopulmonary, you see, stress receptor signals before that?
Okay.
Oh my goodness. I said, well, let's try to increase the flow of signals from cardiopulmonary stress receptors. By increasing the flow, some of these signals will have the chance to get before, to get to the presynaptic area of the nucleus tractus solitarius before the other signals, which will promote periodic limb movement. So it will inhibit the incoming signals from sensors in our body, from periodic limb movement, and from visceral stress receptors, will be all inhibited if the cardiopulmonary, you see, stress receptor signals get to that presynaptic area before them.
Okay.
So the whole idea is to increase the flow of these signals from cardiopulmonary stress receptors. Cardiopulmonary stress receptors, their sensitivity does increase during sleep. The nucleus tractus solitarius promoting as well sleep, and it gets more sensitive during sleep.
Okay.
So what I did, after controlling the obstructive sleep apnea and hypopnea with the CPAP at the setting pressure, I asked Dr. Mansoor Ahmed, where I used to work at his lab, to give me a permission to do this maneuver. He said, as far as you see, it doesn't cause any disturbances to the control of obstructive sleep apnea and hypopnea, you can do without getting the patient hurt or affected by this maneuver. So I did it. Now, after controlling the obstructive sleep apnea and hypopnea, I start to manipulate the pressure of the CPAP, raising it very slow, stepwise.
Okay.
It's, let's say, 1 centimeter H2O, down 1 centimeter H2O, actually to involve the most of these stress receptors in firing. So we have got slow stress receptors and rapid, slow adapting stress receptors, rapid adapting stress receptors, and deflated stress receptors. All of these receptors do fire during deflation and inflation, except the deflation, the deflating stress receptor, which are specifically fired during deflation.
Okay.
So, manipulating the CPAP pressure up and down, It could involve more of these receptors, which have different threshold firing. By doing so, I increase the flow of these signals to the presynaptic area of the nucleus of the receptors, giving the chance for these signals to get before the other input from other sources of signals, sensory signals, cutaneous signals, stretch receptor, visceral, you see, receptors, and could inhibit them. By inhibiting them, that will promote and enhance sleep. The outcome that will promote sleep.
Right.
When they do get into nucleus tractus, they will promote sleep, and the nucleus tractus will enhance sleep. Okay, we are enhancing sleep.
Right.
By doing so, enhancing sleep will reduce motoric activity
Okay.
in general. Periodic leaf movement is a sort of motoric activity. So it will reduce it or abolish it or reduce it to a stage where it can cause no more arousal. This is the first. The
Interesting.
second, it the enhancing sleep could raise the threshold of arousal.
Okay.
So in both sides, we have got enhancing sleep, and that will cause reduction of motoric activity. Periodic leaf movement is kind of motoric activity and will affect it. Now, the C-flex. Why I did use C-flex? The C-flex does reduce the pressure, expiratory pressure, at the beginning of expiration.
Okay.
We have got 1 centimeter or 2 centimeter or 3 centimeters H2O. Pressure of centimeter pressure of H2O. Other companies, they use it 1, 2, 3 as a scale. It's not necessary to be 1 centimeter H2O or 2 centimeter H2O or 3. No, it depends upon the expiratory strength of the patient himself. And this adjusts, reduce the pressure. It's not necessary to be 1 or 2 or 3 H2O centimeter of H2O. By doing so, I am interrupting the slow adapting stretch receptors to the continuous air pressure.
Interesting. Okay.
Because after a period of time, I realized that the PLM return. So something is going on. What could be possible? The possible that the slow adapting stretch receptor did adapt to this continuous positive air pressure after a period of time. To interrupt this time needed for this slow stretch, adapting stretch, I introduce the C-flex. The C-flex will break the time needed for this slow adaptive receptor to adapt. So let's say after 10 minutes or 20 minutes, these slow stretch receptors adapted to the CPAP pressure, let's say 10. Okay?
Okay.
They will not fire. They will start firing less than before, than the moment the CPAP pressure applied. Less firing of them will lead to less flow of signals to presynaptic NTS. That will shift the balance toward what the other sensory receptors coming, which working as alertness, you see,
Right.
alertness. And we will have the PNM back.
Okay, because it's adaptive.
So the breaking, you see, the time needed for this slow stretch receptor to adapt, as will lead to, you see, as if we are subjecting these slow stretch receptor, adaptive stretch receptor, to a new time of pressure,
Right.
as if we start from the beginning,
Right.
you know? So they will carry on firing on the same tempo.
Right. Well,
And that will lead.
let me stop you here for just one second because I got to take a commercial break.
Yes.
But we'll come right back and pick up where we left off, and then I have some questions for you. It's very, very
Okay.
interesting. So
Yes.
let's take a quick commercial break, and I'll be right back.
Okay.
Have you ever wondered why you can't sleep well? Well, there could be lots of different reasons. In order to figure it out, I wrote the book, Why Can't I Sleep Well? It includes 150 common sleep questions that are asked and answered, and I provide all of the supporting science and evidence to address each of the questions. I encourage you to get a copy of Why Can't I Sleep Well by Andrew Kolsky. It's available at www.sleepsciencetoday.com.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
If you're having trouble sleeping and you need support, don't go it alone. Join us at our free online support group at sleepsupportgroup.com. Just put in your email address, sign up for the list, and you will be notified of all of our upcoming meetings. It's free, so why not try it out?
Okay, welcome back with Sleep Science Today. We're talking with Dr. Bashar Al Asfari, and he is explaining to us something he has learned about periodic limb movement and how to address it. So I want you to continue your story, but I do want to ask one question just for clarification. You mentioned you're using the C-Flex as opposed to the
Yes.
CPAP, right?
Yes.
Can you tell us what is the difference between those?
Yes. The C-Flex, it is used to help patient, you see, to tolerate the CPAP pressure. CPAP is continuous positive air pressure.
Right.
So some patient find it difficult, you see, to exhale or to exhale during this high pressure.
Okay.
So C-flex meant to reduce at the beginning of expiration, reduce the pressure, and then getting it back to the setting pressure of CPAP at the beginning of inhalation or inspiration.
I see. Okay. So it's a flexible.
Yes. Now, when I use the biflex, the BiPAP and biflex, the BiPAP will reduce, the biflex will reduce the inspirative pressure at the end of the inspiration.
Oh.
And will reduce the pressure at the beginning of expiration. So it will reduce at the beginning, it will reduce it at the end of inspiration, and will reduce it at the beginning of expiration. By doing so, as I told you, I am breaking the time needed for this slow adapting receptor to adapt this to the applied pressure. Because if they adapt it, they will fire less than before. Okay. And that will shift the balance toward the other incoming signal from sensory, from periodic movement, visceral, and etc. Actually, this interpretation is related to 2008, where I conducted this study. I conducted this study in 2008. And according to the knowledge at that time, which I do find it not different from the knowledge or information we got today, except that they discovered UCA24, more of these stretch receptor, cardiopulmonary stretch receptor, and with different range. Well, actually, I did use this in my study in 2008. All right. And we have got also the cardiopulmonary stretch receptors are not only related to the pulmonary, they are related to cardiac as well. We have got the volume stretch receptors in the left, right atrial, and in cardia, in the heart itself, and in sinus aorticus, and in aortic arc. So all of these are more sensitive during sleep. So I use this sensitivity to control periodic leaf movement.
So, all right. So the people that you're using these machines with, I know that for obstructive sleep apnea, where we commonly see the use of the CPAP, for example, there's a lot of trouble getting people to use the machine because they find it uncomfortable or that's hard to adapt, various different reasons. Are you finding that same problem here? A lot of people just not getting comfortable with the machine, so regardless of the purpose, they're not using it?
The problem with this is sometimes the high pressure could not be tolerated by these patients. And there are some companies now who are using C-flex and biflex to elevate the pressure during QC inspiration and expiration. This, what I did find, it could help these companies actually not to maintain a steady pressure, to change it within a range which stay controlling the obstructive sleep apnea and hypopnea. For instance, let's say we have got the pressure at 10 or 11. Okay, the patient may cannot tolerate this pressure, find it difficult. So let's apply CPAP, C-flex, okay? If we find that this person or this spirit cannot tolerate it, let's apply BiPAP. No need to make a BiPAP with four steps, you see, for inspiration and less four steps for expiration. Mm-hmm. For instance, 10 inspiration and 6 inspiration. Let's do it 10, 2, 10, 6, 10, 5,
okay.
10, 4. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And right. Then to change the C flex and biflex as well. Not to keep it on the same brain, on the same, you see, pressure. For instance, if we have got the biflex at 1, okay? For one company, they considered 1 centimeter H2O pressure. Mm-hmm. Let's say 1. Let's not do it 1. Let's say for 5 minutes, 1. For another 5 minutes, 2. For another 5 minutes, 3. Not to keep it at a steady pressure.
Right.
And that will help. The patient won't feel it, but he will, because he's sleeping, but he will tolerate it. You know?
Yeah.
And that will improve the outcome and sleep quality. Most of the patients, when I applied this maneuver to them, they reported that they never slept like this before.
Wow.
Because we have got periodic limb movement, periodic limb movement at control, and less arousals, no more arousals. I did increase the threshold of arousals, enhancing sleep, and all led to a better sleep quality.
Wow, interesting. So
not only this, I forgot something to tell you.
Yeah.
This enabled me to study the efficiency of search receptors. You know? Mm-hmm. Because if there is an increase, this is a hypothesis, you see, because if there is an increase in time for slow stretch receptor to adapt, that means they are more flexible, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There is no something which stretch them that much forcibly.
Right.
If the duration is less, that means something is, these stretch receptors are more stretched. So they adapt to this pressure more than the others.
Right.
So we can study the efficiency of this search receptor, which has got a very impact about, you see, the condition of the cardiopulmonary system.
Right. Well, so with this knowledge now that you've gained from this, I know you said that it's helpful, and obviously it is helpful for other companies to use this to advance the machinery and things that they're making, but you're currently using this with patients, right?
Yes.
Okay.
No, I am not using. I am now in how can you call it? I am in retirement. I am not working. I am retired now.
Okay.
But I have got so many, you see, things. But I am ready. If anyone want me to start again, I am ready. Because I am worked with not only with this. I like stress receptor. I use stress receptor to control snoring.
Wow.
Yes. And,
tell us about that. I have not heard of that.
Yes, because I'm using medicine to control. I have got some patients in Syria where I was there. Mm-hmm. I controlled their, you see, snoring with medication. And also I control the pressure of CPAP applied to this patient where I reduce it from 11 to 5. From 11 to 5. One patient who has subjected to a surgical approach, you see, we call it ovulo palato pharyngoplasty, with, you see, a surgery which cut off all of these, you see, tissues,
mm-hmm.
to get rid of his snoring. He conducted this surgery in the state while he was doing his PhD.
Okay.
And when he went to Syria, he starts snoring again, and very forcibly, you see.
Huh.
Because even after this surgical approach, the upper airway will lose their, you see, how can I, tension.
Okay.
They will lose their tension. They are less, you see, stretch receptors in the pharyngeal, you see, and in the upper airways,
Okay.
less signals going to the nervous system, less signals going out to increase their tension, and they will start flubbing and causing this snoring. I use the medication with him, and I reduce the pressure from 11 to 5.
So what?
And he stopped using the CPAP during the afternoon nap. And during the night, he used it only 4 hours. But five is nothing.
Right. I'm curious which medication and what did the medication do to make that change?
You will be surprised. I am using hydralazine because in 1984, I conducted in vitro study about the effect of various drugs on blood vessel samples. And one of them was hydralazine. When I use hydralazine at very low doses, there was an increase in tension in one of these blood vessels. Very, very, very low. Hardly you can, you see, detect. It took me more than 36 hours to get this response. So I put the hypothesis that nothing can be except the stretch receptor, the connective tissue, as one compartment of these blood vessels. Because if it's a contractile, you see, like a smooth muscle, it will react in different way. You will see better response. But it wasn't like that. Anyhow, so I said, let's increase the tension of the upper airway to control, you see, snoring. I used hydralazine at very low doses. It's 2.5 milligrams, which is nothing, you see. You need more than 200 milligram to produce its effect as a vasodilator, as antihypertensive drug. With some other combination, you need 10 milligram with other combination, such as, you see, diuretics and reserbine as central, you see, antihypertensive drug. And for 2 times, 3 times a day, which is 30 milligram. I am using 2.5 milligram.
Wow, that's
And
amazing.
that's good to control the snoring. I did this. I started in the state, but unofficially. Then when I went to Syria, I started with the University of Aleppo Medical Faculty, and it worked. It worked. Of course, I have subjective finding,
Right.
filling, you see, questionnaires and so on, Epworth scale and so on, because I haven't got, you see, the facility to do it objectively.
Right.
So I use this hydralazine, which, according to my own assumption and theory, it raised the alertness of nervous system, which led to increased tension of the upper airways, and that could abolish snoring.
Wow. Let me stop you there again because I got to take another commercial, but I definitely have some follow-up questions. So we're going to take a commercial break. We'll be right back on Sleep Science Today.
Have you ever wondered why you can't sleep well? Well, there could be lots of different reasons. In order to figure it out, I wrote the book, Why Can't I Sleep Well? It includes 150 common sleep questions that are asked and answered, and I provide all of the supporting science and evidence to address each of the questions. I encourage you to get a copy of Why Can't I Sleep Well by Andrew Kolsky. It's available at www.sleepsciencetoday.com.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, welcome back. We're on Sleep Science Today. We are having a fascinating conversation here with Dr. Bashar Al-Asfari, and he is telling us about a lot of the research he has done and some of the discoveries he came up with. So let me back us up for a second, because I want to make sure that we get some things clear in case the audience doesn't understand. So initially, we were talking about sort of periodic limb movements, right?
Yes.
And can you explain for the audience, what is a periodic limb movement? Where does it come from? How do we treat it today compared to what you discovered? Can you just give us that background?
Okay. So actually, they have got the same origin. It's a periodic movement of leg and limb.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter which limb, down or upper limb.
Right.
But it's a stereotype of muscle movement, which start, let's say, 0.5 second up to 10 second in duration, and periodically between 10 to 20 second. Periodically it goes. This happening only during sleep. They hypothesize that it's due to hyper excitability of the spinal cord, of entire spinal cord, mainly the cervical and limbosacral segments. It has got the same origin as the restless leg syndrome, but it does happen during sleep. Restless leg syndrome, a person who has got restless leg syndrome, automatically he will have periodic limb movement, but not vice versa.
Oh, interesting.
But not vice versa. For periodic limb movement, I don't know what kind of drug now they are using, but I think it's a troublesome for treatment. So actually, I use this method to come back to see a periodic movement.
Mm-hmm.
And some other methods, I don't know whether they are working.
Right.
Because that's need to do a study, objective study, and to see whether they are effective.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what I mean by this, why I did use this method? Because using this method is a drug-free method.
Right.
And it's very easy to conduct during sleep study. It doesn't take much time. It's just, you see, playing on these stretch receptors.
Right.
And putting them, but what is needed? Needed to find a CPAP or BiPAP program, you see, which alternate these pressures in according to the PLM, periodic leaf movement,
mm-hmm.
appears.
Mm-hmm.
So if it appears, they will adjust the pressure. If it not, and so on. And as I told you, to break the circle, the time needed to stretch receptor, slow stretch receptors adapting, or at slow adapting stretch receptor to adapt to this. Let's say, for instance, after 10 minutes, this slow adapting stretch receptors will adapt. So what we can do, after 5 minutes, we can break the time and apply C-flex or Biflex.
Right.
And the PLM, although it's not realized by the patient, he doesn't feel it.
Right.
But his companion feel it, actually. And he wake up tired, and it reduced the sleep quality, as I mentioned.
Right.
This is my way of dealing with periodic limb movement.
Right. Well, it's really important, especially today, because I know in speaking with patients, you know, in my own practice,
so many people now want to try to avoid drugs whenever possible because they don't want to be putting these things in their system and they're looking for alternatives, but the alternatives have to be effective for them. So I am curious then, are you aware of any other doctors or any other people that are using your method today?
I am sorry because I left Syria in 2012 after you see the revolution.
Right.
I went through many countries, you see. And when I came, I ended up in Canada. I just, you see, tried to promote or to talk to professors and so on. The only professor who responded was Professor Carl Lilly. He's a sociologist, actually, but he was the head office of polysomnography at Trent University in Peterborough,
Oh, wow.
Canada. When I talked to him, he responded, and we conducted, you see, the study. I conducted the study, the reflexology effect on sleep, to improve sleep and to counter also snoring. So we did a study. We did it subjectively. We don't have the chance to do it objectively, actually. And there was a good response. You see, we have got a good results. Then I tried, you see, to working with the company to produce this device. But I don't know where they buried it, actually. They were not active that much. I don't know why, because some other methods they are using, you see, to counter snoring, but it is a very complicated one. My mind is very simple, and I have got more than 65% positive results.
Right.
It's a very good result for implementing this reflexology. So I stopped, you see, doing any research 5 years ago. But I am willing, you see, to carry on doing research if I got the chance and the opportunity to do so. I have gone also used methods to counter, you see, Alzheimer
Oh, wow.
by increasing, as I told you, the flow of signals, the alertness signals to the nervous system, and improving sleep quality as well, without interfering with the, how can I say it, with the traditional use of drug. I kept using the drug that traditionally used to counter, you see, to treat patient of Alzheimer, but I use these methods as well. The patients, after 6 months, I couldn't believe it, and there was, you see, a representative of Ministry of Health and some other, you see, the daughter of this patient, her son, and some other guest. The patients, after 6 months, she start to announce that she needs to go to the restroom. Before, she didn't. The cognition improved. I couldn't believe it.
Wow.
I couldn't believe it. Would you believe it? I can't believe it. And she asked to eat. There was a lady who was looking after her, you see. She used the bowl of you see, soup. She said, "I am hungry." And she left the spoon with her right hand. She put it in the bowl and she put it in her mouth, without having shaking arm.
Really?
Yes. She
Interesting.
announced she wanted to go to the restroom. She went to the restroom, although she couldn't urinate or defecate, but she has a cognition, improved cognition.
Wow.
Now, what I am searching for, I'm using this reflexology method, which I need, you see, to detect the brain waves generating by this maneuver. Because I did this study in where I used to do the polysomnography course
Right.
at Tri-C, Parma, Cleveland. But I did not register the brain wave generated by the continuous pressure to see what frequency they have. If they have frequency of 40 hertz, which is proof that the 40 hertz brain waves generated by flicking of light and sound at 40 hertz did improve the patient of Alzheimer's disease, improved by what? By metabolizing or cleaning the brain tissue
Right.
from beta amyloid.
Wow, this is all really very interesting information, and I'm so glad we had the opportunity to speak with you today.
I'm very glad that I have got the opportunity to talk about this, because whatever I do communicate with the some, you see, people who are involved in this, I found no response.
I know it takes a lot to get people to kind of change their thinking to accept new methodologies and new ways of approaching old problems.
I will tell you something. Whenever I go and showing them what I do face, what they reply, they don't take about care about the outcome of the study. They said to me, "You are putting us out of business." Would you believe it?
I would believe it, unfortunately. Yeah.
Yes. That's what happened to me. So,
I'm
but
sorry to hear that.
in fact, the first problem I encountered was in the state. "You are putting us out of business." "I am not putting out of business." They didn't realize that what I am doing, you see, it will increase the tolerance to the CPAP.
Right.
They thought that I am going to reduce the use of CPAP. It's not reducing the CPAP, because they misunderstood the whole outcome of the study.
Right.
It's increased the tolerance for the CPAP.
Right.
So instead of applying 10 or 11 CPAP pressure, H2O centimeter, 10 or 11 centimeter of H2O, you can apply 5. So what is much more tolerable, 5 or 11?
Right.
And you're still using the CPAP.
Yeah. Well, this is fascinating information, and I really appreciate you taking time out of your day to share this with us. Hopefully somebody will hear this and be interested in pursuing, this further. It does sound very, very interesting. So unfortunately, we're out of time, and because we're a radio show, we've got very strict limits. But I do want to thank you for taking your time to share this with us.
Thank you very much for your help and concern about this, and I hope we will meet one day or sometimes.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for being interested of my finding.
Thank you for listening to Sleep Science Today and learning how to sleep better with your host, Andrew Kolsky, on UK Health Radio. For more information on how you can achieve better sleep, go to sleepsciencetoday.com. Remember, sleep science today and sleep better tonight.